Listen and stream the only talk radio, Freedom 106.5, for the only talk that matter.
Welcome back to Freedom 106.5. Govan here with you on board the Human Impact. And as mentioned earlier on today, we have a very special interview with Crime Stoppers. So joining me in studio at this point in time, we have our guest in studio. So it's time to stop crime. And that time is right now on Freedom 106.5. Joining us in studio, none other than Mr. Alexander McDonald, Chairman, Caribbean, Bermuda and Latin America, Crime Stoppers Foundation, and past president of Crime Stoppers International, as well as Mr. Darren Carmichael, director of Crime Stoppers Trinidad and Tobago. Good morning, gentlemen, and thank you so much for joining us on Freedom 106.5.
Good morning, Trinidad.
Good morning. Morning, our pleasure.
Right, so it's great to have you with us. So yesterday we spoke with Mr. Samuel from Crime Stoppers Trinidad and Tobago, and he mentioned to our listeners that Crime Stoppers is actually part of an international organization. Could you give us some information about this international aspect of Crime Stoppers and its origin?
Yes, Crime Stoppers has been involved in fighting crime now for over 40 years. It started off in Albuquerque in the USA, and today it's in all corners of the world. It's a very successful civilian-organized organization that gets the support from the community. Crime Stoppers itself is nothing more than an anonymous platform where members of the community can call, whether you're here in Trinidad or in New York or London or Cape Town, where we have programs operating. And it gives the community the safety of knowing that when they make a call to Crime Stoppers, whether you're here in Trinidad or whether you're overseas in any of these other areas I mentioned, it's going to be completely anonymous. Your name will never be used. We don't know it. But the most important thing to remember about Crime Stoppers, and as I said, it's been in existence for 40-odd years. It's been in Jamaica for over 30, and Trinidad for about roughly the same amount of time. Mm-hmm. Is that in all of these years, all over the world, nobody has been identified by anybody in law enforcement or outside law enforcement as someone who has given information to Crime Stoppers. And that's one of the most important things we like to highlight.
So the international organization, over 40 years, not one incident. So definitely anonymity is of utmost importance.
It is our major theme.
That's our stock and trade.
It is the anonymity. And as I say, we're talking not just of Caribbean, but we're also talking of major cities. And not one person who has given information to Crime Stoppers, whether anywhere in the world, has been identified.
Right. So you mentioned it's a complete civilian organization. Why do you think this organization was established to begin with?
It was established in Albuquerque, in New Mexico, USA, many years ago, 40-odd years ago, by a young police officer who had got involved in a murder investigation in a gas station, and he was getting nowhere. He couldn't find any witnesses to the crime. So he went to a news station and asked for their help. And together, between the media and the law enforcement, they got what they called an anonymous line open. And they encouraged people to make a call to this anonymous line. And it's one of these situations when you make a call to Crime Stoppers, you don't or are not asked for your name or your details. You just give them the information. And shortly after opening this, it became very obvious that the public want to report the crime, but they don't want to give their name. So that started it off, and then it spread through United States and Canada, then down to the Caribbean, over to the Europe, over to Australasia. We now have programs in South Africa, and our headquarters, global headquarters now, is in The Hague in the Netherlands, and our regional headquarters is in Bermuda, with our operational headquarters in Panama. But our two most important programs are Trinidad and Jamaica, which have the largest populations in the Caribbean. And both organizations are run by civilian boards. They advise the police what they should be doing in relation to community awareness campaigns. They solicit funding from the corporate world, and they also do awareness campaigns. And with the support of the media, we highlight crime and encourage people to call Crime Stoppers and report that crime. Now, when Crime Stoppers started, of course, it was mainly use of telephone. But in today's technology, it's everything from your phone, using an app, to a platform we have on our website. And it is our goal as an organization to make sure that all the technology that we use is of a standard that nobody could actually go in round the back door and get information. And that's right. One thing we guarantee. We have support of some of the big IT companies who make sure that that would never happen by having scrubbers and all what they call scrubbing devices, which blocks people trying to follow on and what goes on. But to be also honest, the police and Crime Stoppers are not really interested in who gives the information as long as we get the information.
The end result. Sure. So in terms of the region and perhaps the world as well, could you give us some details in terms of any major developments or major crimes that Crime Stoppers and the tips received would have been able to contribute to that, those crime fighting initiatives?
Ah, you see there, you're asking the biggest secret that we hold. I'm not going to be telling you anything about what we know that crimes have been solved in your country, in Trinidad here.
Sure.
But just to give you an example, in Jamaica, there was a very serious murder, and within days, information came through Crime Stoppers that helped the Jamaican police identify that. In other jurisdictions, in Bahamas, there was kidnapping. Information came through that, and it helped them solve the crime. And one of the biggest areas that we're seeing that's happening within our jurisdictions now is a new concept of crime called illicit trade. And what's been happening in some parts of the world is that illicit trade is becoming a major concern because it's not policed by, like narcotics is policed. Our customs all over the Caribbean do as best a job as they can, but they don't also have some powers that they can identify certain things. And you find pharmaceuticals, alcohol, cigarettes now are becoming a major concern because and it's examples you're using, in Panama, they actually identified a huge number of containers coming in from China of illegal cigarettes and alcohol that would have gone on to the market if it wasn't for the individuals who informed Crime Stoppers, who later informed customs, and a seizure was made.
Just last year, which is good news for us, we launched our illicit trade task force. And coming out of that, Crime Stoppers was invited or is invited, has been invited to be part of that task force. In fact, I sit right on the committee. So what is happening there is that we are slowly, gradually beginning to advocate for information that comes into the program to be used, and Crime Stoppers being that platform, that trusted platform, we have persons with information on illicit trading cigarettes, alcohol, pharmaceuticals, cleaning agents. All those things are the primary focus now of this illicit trade group. And we have had some successes in terms of container loads of cigarettes, illicitly traded cigarette, which of course, you know, that hits the bottom line in terms of loss of revenue for
in
the company.
Way, yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the health implications where illicit cigarettes and so on hit the market, yeah, and how that affects the whole Caribbean region.
Yes? Because I think it's a billion-dollar industry. I was looking at a documentary a short while ago, and they indicated that these illicit trades are a really big blow to business enterprises.
Well, I'm a non-smoker, but when I see what is inside some of these cigarettes that they're selling amongst our communities, you're getting them for a third of the price, if not less, than what you would get from the person who's, you know, the actual cigarette. But these illicit goods that's coming in, whether it's cigarettes or pharmaceuticals, are not the product that you think you're buying. And that's one of the concerns. And as you say, it's a billion-dollar business. Yeah, and it's financing our gang activities. The cartels are finding this a lot easier than dealing with, drugs, because, it's a small band of customs and small band of police officers that are out there doing it. And if it wasn't for the support we get from our communities who see some of this going on, it would be even in a worse shape right now. And our core value when Crime Stoppers started many years ago was mainly the, murder, break-ins and such like. But now, information the public can help us with and help law enforcement goes from illicit trade to cyber crime. And even one of the biggest areas of Crime Stoppers in South Africa is wildlife. So through organizations run by civilian boards like you have here in Trinidad, we have in 14 other areas around the Caribbean, but the two biggest ones in the Caribbean are Jamaica and Trinidad, and then we have Barbados and Bahamas, and then the other islands, the smaller islands, all have extremely successful programs and all run by civilian boards.
We have to take a message from, of course, a crime safety tip right here on Freedom 106.5. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
And we're back, Freedom 106.5 FM, inside this very special interview, courtesy Crime Stoppers. And reminding you, we are joined by Mr. Alexander McDonald, Chairman, Caribbean, Bermuda and Latin America Crime Stoppers Foundation, and he's also past president of Crime Stoppers International and director of Crime Stoppers Trinidad and Tobago, Mr. Darren Carmichael. So, gentlemen, welcome back. And we were discussing before the break of how the initiatives or the purview of Crime Stoppers has evolved over the years, because crime has evolved over the years. And we know definitely crime is transnational. There's a lot of international things that are happening behind the scenes. And there are extensive networking that takes place across borders. Does Crime Stoppers International have a role to play in the fight against these type of international crimes?
Yes, certainly. In fact, as we speak, we would have just left the Association of Caribbean Commissioners of Police Conference, which takes place the 37th edition, and it takes place in Trinidad at the Hyatt. And really, it speaks exactly to that. How can Crime Stoppers assist in transnational reporting, reporting transnational crimes? And it's a very interesting area, because over the years, we've actually been more and more involved in apart from the serious crimes that we think people report, to a whole host of transnational type crimes. It's a serious problem, and it has to engage in Crime Stoppers is one of those organizations that they've seen it fit to engage us, particularly because of the success we've been having with reaching into the bowels of the community, getting information that the police would not otherwise have, and of course feeding that into the system to generate intelligence and solve crimes and so on.
Okay, great. Now, what about some of the regional initiatives or efforts that have taken place that Crime Stoppers has been part of or assisted with so far?
One of our annual ones is human trafficking. We use what we call different shoe days, and that's in some of the smaller islands where we work with United Nations Blue Shield, and it makes one day in July very popular by doing lots of social media to ask people to wear different shoes. And then at the beginning when this started out, people said, well, why would we want to do that? Well, in human trafficking, the traffickers give their victims their clothing. So people's clothing are used around and around by different people, and shoes sometimes you will find is the main. And from United Nations point of view, that's one way of highlighting human trafficking. In other areas we deal with here, we deal with firearms in particular. Firearms, you say, how can Crime Stoppers are transnational? Well, even in your country, firearms are coming across the border every day in all sorts of ways and means. Someone is buying them from someone overseas. Someone is bringing them here, maybe not Trinidad or people from this region even, but they're bringing them into your community. That's transnational crime. People know it's happening. People are victims of these firearms. So it's important that we do awareness campaigns on a regular basis, like the station is doing this week, on highlighting what the community can do. Yeah. Because you can't ask police and customs to do everything they can't do it unless they have the support of the community. And policing has changed, and this conference we're at now, the technology has has gone way above anything one would expect. But right down at the grassroots, it's the community who knows what's going on. And unless they help our police and our customs, the cartels will get stronger in the realization they're making millions and billions of dollars, while others are losing millions.
Because a great concern for persons that may have information about gangs and so on is the option of giving information. And usually, even when you have witness protection programs, they don't always work. You have persons that are informants being removed, killed, all sorts of things. So I think in terms of the level of anonymity that your organization provides, it gives that cloak of protection.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. All right. One of the things I wanted to add to what Alex had said, one of the big ticket items that we also are involved in is the most wanted fugitives.
Right.
Because again, the cross-border type approach, you find that Europol, Interpol, FBI, they among these huge exercises, and of course, being Caribbean particularly, a lot of these persons abscond and they come into these territories. And therefore, by having the eyes and ears of everyone across the nation, across the Caribbean, looking out, we're able to make some serious inroads into identifying and, of course, the recapture of fugitives. That's one of the key things that we do as well.
There was a major media case not too long ago where a certain gentleman embezzled millions and millions of dollars, and Interpol put out a sheet, a red notice, saying that they may be in one of the islands in the Caribbean, and the Crime Stoppers program on that island put out some media attention, and my goodness, it was surprised to say that someone knew who this individual was in the community, and they reported it, and the individual was arrested. The same for a situation in Jamaica. Someone, a certain gentleman, you'd call him that, he took the life of a young child in the UK, and he disappeared. And it was rumored in the UK that he may have been in Jamaica. So with the support of the Crime Stop unit in Jamaica, they put out flyers and made awareness of it. And again, with the good work of the Jamaica community, this individual was captured and extradited back to the UK.
So you've mentioned a number of initiatives, a number of projects that have been rolled out in the not-too-distant past. Are you overall pleased and satisfied with the work of the organization so far? And what about the future? Any ideas or plans for the future as crime continues to be very dynamic and fluid?
Yes. No matter what technology we have that can detect crime, the best source of information comes from our streets. I was chairman of Crime Stoppers Bermuda, and I saw the benefits that the community did to highlight incidents to our law enforcement. That's why I'm still with the organization, and I have been with it now for over 25 years. And I'm a volunteer. I don't get paid for this. Most of my civilian boards are all volunteers. We have a full group of full-time people who run our call centers and such. But the majority of people who are on the boards of Crime Stoppers are there because they want to help and do something within our communities to assist law enforcement, whether it's police, customs, border patrol, animal protection, fisheries, you name it. And that's why we use the term law enforcement, because we do get some very strange and very interesting calls coming through our system.
I could only imagine. Now, in terms of collaboration and working together, you underscored how important that is. And you're also here to be part of the Regional Police Commissioners Conference. What do you think Crime Stoppers can do to collaborate with conferences like these? And what would you expect to see coming out from it?
Well, I mean, the whole idea is that everything we have done for the last 40 plus years, starting with that story with Detective Macaulay, has been really to influence how quickly cases are solved, to provide information that would not otherwise be done. It's important that you understand that, you know, persons have information. They've been around, they've seen, they may be a witness. But of course, due to the apprehension and the fear, sometimes very real fear, they don't come forward. So what Crime Stoppers has established is that anonymous platform that is today trusted. The integrity of it has not been ever compromised. And I think that is what we bring to the table. Right, no other body could boast of having that kind of success. And it's billions of dollars in narcotics recovered, billions of dollars in terms of stolen property, numerous firearms and so on. So the proof of the pudding is really eating. Police jurisdictions all around the world, law enforcement know the value of Crime Stoppers. Certainly locally here, our government, successive governments understand the value in that we have been funded for the last 23 years. Right, and that is indicative of the success of the program and the value placed on it. So what we hope from this program is that all the participants in this regional conference would replicate what Jamaica, Barbados, Trinidad and Tobago, and some of the other territories have been doing, and hopefully tap into that resource. All right. Of course, to tap into it, we need funding. We need certain types of collaboration, as you speak, because it doesn't run on its own. But once it starts to run, it's like an engine that doesn't turn off. We generate what is required, mm-hmm. and we get the information flowing to help the police solve crime.
Because you just mentioned there's been great success in Jamaica. And a couple of weeks ago, I remember seeing a story that was published regionally that said that crime levels have been falling in Jamaica. Although it's pretty high, it has been seeing a significant drop in all major categories of crime. So I like mm-hmm. to think that the avenue that your organization provides yeah. definitely assists with that. Do you think, and so far with the conference and other initiatives, do you think that the other areas in the Caribbean, Trinidad being a prime example of having crime problems, do you think that they are following some of the successes that the Jamaican model has employed and so on?
That's why I'm here.
Great.
To be very honest, mm-hmm. I'm here to emphasize to our police commissioners the success of the partnership between Trinidad and their police department and Jamaica and their police department. Some of the small countries, Bahamas, Barbados and such, you know, they don't have as good a working relationship as you do have in Trinidad and Jamaica. It can be improved, and that's what we're here to do. As Darren said, Crime Stoppers is not a police operation. It is a civilian right. operation. It is run by civilians. They're all volunteers with the support of the police. And we do this with the understanding that, you know, we give them information. They have to report that what they've done with that information back to us, so we can actually highlight that to the media. Because, you know, our triangle, and it's funny I use that word because Crime Stoppers Regional is based in Bermuda and we have the triangle. But the triangle is sure. basically law enforcement, right. media, and the community. And the media promote the crime. The Crime Stoppers forward it up with are seeking support from the community, and the police carry out the information. Because we don't get intelligence from the community, we get information. Right. That information goes to the police. It's up to them.
They
to
have
make
to act
that
upon it. Yeah.
The intelligence.
But I don't know if you would have the information before you. But if you were to give us an idea in terms of how much or how many bits or pieces of information have been useful in the detection or the successful apprehension of or dealing with resolving crime. Mm-hmm. It may be difficult. If you do have the information and you want to break it down locally, regionally, internationally, it's all in your purview.
I can answer that for Trinidad, roughly,
sure.
right? And I'll just use two of the staggering statistics that we share. $965 million worth of narcotics had been for the last 23 years. If you divide it, you'll see how much per year, right? That has been taken off of the streets as a result of tips coming into the program. $26 million worth of stolen property, TVs, jewelry, you name it, had been recovered as a result of tips. Numerous firearms, ammunition, persons who have been abducted and so on, murders have been solved. So with that kind of stats, and bear in mind, this is somebody telling the police, go to the backyard, look on the line. Within the clothing that is hanging on the line, you will see guns and drugs and so on and so on and so on. They would have searched that property for years and would never have found it.
Because but sometimes it gets a little...
is very specific.
Right.
And they will say that kind of... You know, so things like that. And I'm just using an example.
Sure.
Just to give you an idea of how that information, as simple as it is when it's said, it is something that the police don't have readily. They can't be everywhere. And it's difficult for the police with their limited resources to really be in all the areas that the information comes out of. Right? And therefore, what we do as crime stoppers is we recognize that it really takes a multifaceted approach to deal with the crime situation, the heightened crime situation. And we do things like not only the reporting of crime and so on. When we get into the meetings and we have those fora, we talk about Neighborhood Watch. And the value of building that responsiveness, that community, to help not only deter and prevent the crime, but also to report it where you see it. So we have that saying, if you see something, say something. And right. All the eyes and ears of the community, the thousands upon thousands of eyes and ears, is what we really want to bring to bear to support Crime Stoppers and, of course, support the police in their crime-fighting effort. It really can't be done alone. And therefore, we play on the law-abiding citizens. Hear the word, law-abiding. So the law-abiding citizens among us, we play on that. There are really about five of them, about against 5,000 of us, you know. And the eyes and ears that we possess in the majority, it is about marshalling that kind of information in the right channels. Mm-hmm. And that's what Crime Stoppers around the world does, to help bring that kind of realization. And you, the media, play an important role in highlighting the crime. This program this morning is instrumental, because every time you bring the program Crime Stoppers and what we do top of mind, it prompts somebody to remember, hey, I know something.
There's an option, right? That they could use.
And of course, there's the opportunity for the reward mechanism that is built into the program as well. All right.
Mr. Alexander, you were going to add into the conversation.
I will disagree with Darren. It's not just law-abiding people that use Crime Stoppers. Crime is a business in some jurisdictions, and some business people want to get rid of their competition.
Yes, we do.
So it's not just law-abiding people.
Because I also thought, you know, persons that are involved in gangs, they may want to get out of it.
Yes.
And may seek no really a real alternative in terms of how they're going to go about that. Because the minute you let your intentions known, they kind of deal with you there.
And we really can't discriminate, because we really don't know who you are.
We don't know who they are.
We don't know who you are.
If information comes through our system and it goes to law enforcement, we don't know who it came from. Right. But sometimes the information is so good, it must be people that know exactly what's going on.
Because it's very specific information. I'm gathering from the discussions here. So Crime Stoppers Trinidad and Tobago is here to stay. Crime Stoppers International as well. Yesterday we had one of the questions following the segment, asking about funding, that you try to get funding from corporate society and so on. You want to give any bit more information that may kind of quell that question?
We could not exist without the corporate support we get. Sure. And when you see a corporate supporter that markets Crime Stoppers, it's through them that we're able to exist. We don't have a major payroll, but we do spend more than 95% of funds coming in on awareness campaigns. We want people to know what platforms we have, how to contact us, and what's going on. So our major donors keep this organization going, not just in Trinidad, but throughout the world. And it's to them I have to thank, because our streets are a little safer. But also works good for them as well, because whether they're resort owners, whether they're supermarket businesses, whether they're international businesses, they also want their employees to be safe. They also want the community they work in, and they want to give back to the community. So that is something that we always like to highlight. That's something we will say very loudly, which are the companies that do support us, because without their support, we would not be able to operate. As I emphasize time and time again, we are not a police organization. We are a civilian body that depends on the corporate world to keep us alive by utilizing funds that they give us to make the public aware of the platforms that we have that they can use.
So again, for those listening to us, of course, we are at the end of our discussion here with Crime Stoppers on Trinidad and Tobago, and they give us a lot of information about Crime Stoppers internationally as well. So if you got any information about crimes that you would like to report, be sure to keep the number in mind, 800 TIPS, I think it's a number that's kind of ingrained in everybody's mind. Yeah. And there's also the application that can be accessed through the Crime Stoppers website as well. So I want to thank you, gentlemen, so much for joining us today on Freedom 106.5 FM. Any closing remarks as we wrap up the interview?
We just want to continue to engage the public and let them know that, you know, crime is everybody's business. And we depend on you. If you have information about any crime, please call the number 800-TIPS, 800-8477. We need to know who you are. We don't need to know who you are. We just need your information. Thank you.
And no matter where you are, we say the same thing. If you see something, say something. You're completely anonymous, and it helps you and your community.
Thank you so much, gentlemen, joining us today on Freedom 106.5 FM. Mr. Alexander McDonald, Chairman, Caribbean, Bermuda and Latin America for Crime Stoppers Foundation, and he's also a past president of Crime Stoppers International and as well director of Crime Stoppers Trinidad and Tobago, Mr. Darren Carmichael. This is Freedom 106.5 FM.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.